It's that time now for me to give you a message from the Lord that we've been waiting for. And before I do that, let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we ask, Lord, again that you would be with us at this time, that you would give me the words to speak, to share with these people, Lord. God, we are your servants, we are your children, and we love you. And so, Lord, we ask that your word would bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, the scripture this morning is from Acts chapter 4, and it's a story about testimony. A story about the testimony of Jesus through his disciples. I'll just give Bruce a minute here before I begin. You're good? Okay, very good. Jesus had been taken to heaven. His disciples are left on earth. This is literally months, just a few months after Jesus is gone. And he told his disciples, go and baptize people from all nations, teaching them all the things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you until the end, the very end. And so they go out, and the message that they have to give is a message that they've experienced. It's a message that they had walked and talked with Jesus. And so Peter, it says here that Peter and John were in the temple once again, and they were preaching about Jesus. They were preaching about Jesus. And the story that the scripture that we read doesn't tell you the backstory, but as they were coming to the temple, they noticed a man seated on the side of the temple in the courtyard, and he was an invalid. He was not able to walk, and he was a beggar. And he was asking for alms. You can read it in chapter 3. And Peter approaches the man and he says, sir, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I will give to you. And I say in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And the man got up just like that and started walking. Well, that created a scene. And the people in the temple began to crowd around Peter and John at this time, and they were teaching them about Jesus. They were telling them about Jesus and how he had raised from the dead. He was dead, and now he's alive. And as they were speaking, verse 1 of chapter 4, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And being unhappy that they taught the people, yes, because that was their job, unhappy and jealous, I'm sure, they preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. You can't teach people that you can resurrect from the dead. That's nonsense. Well, they were doing it, and they were unhappy. And they laid their hands on Peter and John and put them in prison until the next day. And now it was only evening. Albeit, many of them that heard the words of Peter and John believed. And the number of the men that believed was 5,000 individuals. Friends, it's not hard for me to believe this after I had seen what went on in Vancouver just last week with one man, crowds of hundreds of people accosting him, assaulting him, because they wanted him to stop speaking the truth. It's not hard for me to believe that there is a group of people out there waiting to hear the message of truth of Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred or the family of the high priest were gathered about together in Jerusalem. They had to consolidate. They had to get themselves together. They had to stop this nonsense. The people aren't going to believe our message anymore. They're not going to believe our teachings anymore because there was no power. These high priests, these upper echelon rich folk, didn't have the message of Jesus, of the resurrection. They had killed Jesus. They had murdered him. And they had to find a way to stop them. And so, they had, and when they had set them in the midst in an attempt to intimidate Peter and John for their testimony, set them in their midst, they asked them, "By what power or what name are you doing these miracles? Whose name? Why are you preaching in? Whose name are you preaching in?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel," the ones that should know, if we this day are being questioned and cross-examined for a good deed that we have done, what wrong have they done? They healed a man and they taught people how they can receive healing. Why are we being questioned by this? By what means he is being made whole? Let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you killed, you crucified, and God raised him from the dead. It is by his name that we preach and do these works. Amen. His name. This is the stone which was set against you at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner or the chief cornerstone. And he goes on and he says, neither is there any name, any salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. It doesn't matter. Only Jesus. You can pray to any other God. There's no power there. Only in the name of Jesus Christ is there power to resurrect dead, to change the life, to turn somebody from someone in the lowest part of society to elevate them to the highest part. Jesus Christ is the only name. Now, we've been talking and teaching about our testimony and our witness and sharing God and making friends for God in the community. Let's see what the Bible says here about these rulers and what they noticed about John and Peter. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? They had been with Jesus. These ignorant fishermen, these men who've never been to school, they don't know how to read or write, have been with Jesus. Friends, that's the testimony I want to have when I'm out there, that I am known around that I have been with Jesus. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring peace when we come. And beholding the man, after they looked at the man who was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What can you say? The man is standing there healed. You can't say anything. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves because they had evil in their hearts. They had to come up with a secret plan of how they're going to silence these people. What shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we can't deny it. We can't deny the power of God working in these lives. No, you can't. You can't deny the fact that when a person is addicted to drugs and alcohol or adultery, or any of these sinful ways that when Jesus gets into their heart and they transform into a new person, you can't say anything against it. And this man was now walking who was lame. But 17, that it spread no further, that it doesn't go and corrupt the rest of the people out there. Let us threaten them, that they speak no more about this name of Jesus. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. Wow. Can you imagine coming to a place where we are no longer allowed to preach in the name of Jesus? Well, here, this is what's happening. They're being persecuted. They're not allowed to preach in the name of Jesus, but Peter stands up. Peter and John answer, stand up and say to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken or listen to you more than God, judge for yourselves. You judge whether we should listen to God or to you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Friends, our testimony, our witness to those people out there in the world is everything that we have seen and heard of the glory of God in our lives. As I was saying before, I'm going to make a little sidetrack. It's not important for us to go around trying to convert people. That's not our job. Our job is not to go out there and try and change people's minds about the gospel. We're not supposed to force our way in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's very simple. Stand at the door and knock. And if they want to talk to you, they'll come out and talk to you. And believe me, they'll know that you're different. They'll know there's something different about you. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about how we share in the communities. How is it that we are to share in the communities? Well, we oftentimes have evangelistic seminars and stuff, but you know, before you can have an evangelistic seminar, we need to have friends and people to invite. We need to have individuals who are open. How do you find those individuals? Well, there's a lot of different methods, but the easiest method is just being their friend. Being friendly to them, talking to them, and sharing a simple thing with them. You don't have to complicate it. I've been going around and I've been testing. I've been trying to find methods that work for myself in this community. And guess what? I'm finding people in Bay Roberts who are open to having a discussion, open to studying God's word. Can you believe that? Praise the Lord. They're out there. It's not as hard as we make it sound. We don't have to be confrontational about it. It's as simple, and I brought this up, and I'm trying to simplify the message this morning. I go around, I put this in your door. I put this in your door, and it's an invitation to study God's word. I put it in your door. You can either take it, throw it away, simple enough, or they can open it and read it and say, hey, love, hope, security, worth looking into. Free Discover Bible study guides. I want to study the Bible. They send it back. It's as simple as that. And we're getting people sending them back. There's no fear. When we share God, there's no reason to be afraid. There's no scared. John and Peter are not afraid. And they're standing right in front of their face yelling at them. There's no fear. God takes that spirit away. And for those of us who are timid and don't have that ability to have conversation very well, the method of just walking around, putting it in people's doors is so simple. It's so simple. Well, you go from that stage and you think, well, I'm just handing these out. I don't think anyone's going to mail them in. No. When they mail them in, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning. They're starting a journey. They're walking through this exciting experience. Now we can come to their home. We can give them a Bible. We can give them a study guide and say, do you have any questions? Well, they've got tons of questions. They're asking tons of questions. And we tell them what Jesus has done in our own life. It's that simple, friends. We don't have to beat them up. We don't have to fight with them. There's no arguing. It's just listening. It's so simple. And so John and Paul said, pardon me, said, it's better for us to listen to God than to man. Whether we're having to social distance or do whatever this is that the government requires us to do, God trumps everything. Our message trumps the government. Our orders are given from God to share the gospel, and nothing can stand in that path. The government is to allow us to preach this message. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding how they might punish them, finding nothing, how they might punish them because of the people, the 5,000 people. For all the men glorified God that for what was done that day. And that man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. Here we have a man healed. He's going out, and his testimony is now he can walk. Does he know who Jesus is? Does he know anything about a 27, 28 fundamental beliefs? He doesn't know nothing. He knows he was on the ground, and now he's walking. And he wants to follow the person who healed him. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. And I'm trying to simplify the message. I'm not going to lengthen it too much. This story in Mark chapter 5 today is talking about the demon-possessed man that Jesus found on the other side of the lake. And if I were to pass through the entire story and just get to the very end of the story, after the demon-possessed man has been healed, and after the demons are sent into the pigs and jump off the cliff, 2,000 of them, it says, let me see here, verse chapter 5 and verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. So the crowd of people that lost the pigs want Jesus to leave, and when he was come into the ship or the boat, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him, Jesus. He wanted to keep following Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He didn't allow him, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them all the great things that the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. And the man departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marveled. The story of this demon-possessed man who could break chains, who terrorized people, who was out of his mind, he had a legion of demons in him, when Christ cast those demons out of the man, and he was sitting there in his right mind wearing clothes. You can't deny it. There's no denying the power of God. He had no opportunity to know the teachings of Jesus. He didn't follow him for 3.5 years like his disciples. He didn't know anything except this man cast these demons out, and I am a new person today, and it's because of him. Friends, it's the simplest message you can give to those out there. It's the simplest message. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1-4. The Bible reads, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And I'll skip to verse 3. And that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. All those things that you have experienced in the gospel are those things that John is declaring. And friends, I'll leave it there because my message today is so simple, we can't confuse it. Whatever God has done for you in your life and whatever he has done to change you, go out there and tell people what he has done. It's that simple. And you'll be surprised who wants to talk. If they begin to talk, tell them more about Jesus. It's that simple. Friends, I have a card in the back on the table. If you would like to share a silent witness, take a couple of cards. Put them out around the doors around your house. Put them in the washrooms. Put them in your business. Put them wherever you want. We're already getting people coming back, emailing me, asking for Bible studies. I'm visiting them in their homes. The work is going to be so great, we won't have enough of us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the simplicity of sharing the gospel. We thank you for blessing us to have this church, Lord, that we could be your people. Lord, we ask today that if you would be with us, with those that want to share, give us the power, cast all the fear out. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.